And we're going to start the Halachos of Sfira, just a brief review covering the main points, things that people need to know in terms of the Avelos of Sfira as Joey requested. So first thing to be aware, obviously, as we'll revisit a little bit later, the mourning for Sfira, the Avelos during Sfira is a result of the fact that we commemorate the loss of 24,000 Talmidim, 12,000 pairs of Talmidim who were lost during this time, 2,000 years ago, Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. So there are a number of versions of this practice. Some begin when Sfira begins, it overlaps with Pesach, and others begin only following Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is going to be at the end of this week. Most people in our community, in the YU circles, observe the first days of Sfira, which means that the observance continues until Lag BaOmer. So within that observance, though, there is a slight difference between Ashkenazim and Sfardim as to how to deal with day number 33, which is Lag BaOmer. Ashkenazim follow the standard view that looks at the final day of the Avelos of Lag BaOmer, like we would look at the final day of any series of days that a person observes as Avelos. Namely, with the principle of Miktas Hayom Kehulo, that even a partial day, when it comes to Avelos, is treated as having the status of an entire day. Just as an Avel, when he concludes his Shiva, will only sit Shiva shortly, maybe a little bit after Shachris, on the seventh day of Shiva, and then he gets up from Shiva. Likewise, the Avelos of these days of Sfira conclude at the beginning of the 33rd day, and the person could at that point, even though it's still the 33rd day, shave. And as a result, he's still considered as if he has observed 33 days of Sfira. The Sfaradim, however, extend aspects of the morning until the 34th day, as maybe we'll come back to a little bit later. But essentially, both customs, the first days of Sfira, the second days of Sfira, whichever one you happen to hold, are they're one and the same. They require 33 days of mourning altogether, just a question of how you count. Some believe that the days that Rabbi Kiva's students died were specifically over the course of the first 33 days, and that's where our practice emerges from. And others say, no, it was 33 days that were scattered around, or scattered over the span from Pesach until Shavuos, and not necessarily only those first 33 days. Everyone agrees that on Lag BaOmer, those deaths ceased. But again, what the practices emerge from is how to interpret that that piece of historical detail. But fundamentally, again, they're not different minhagim. Because they're not fundamentally different minhagim, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that a person can vary his practice from one year to the next. It's not like a normal situation of a person who has a particular family minhag, and deviating from that practice would be a violation of the halachically binding nature of minhagim, which is based on the pasuk of Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, Al Titos Torah Simecha. The end of that pasuk, Al Titos Torah Simecha, the Gemara in Pesachim at the beginning of the fourth parak darshins as a source for the halachically binding nature of various minhagim. So whatever you're doing, whether it's the first 33 days or 33 days starting from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, according to Moshe Feinstein, it's the same fulfillment of the same observance, and therefore it's not a violation to change from one to the other. However, Rav Shechter has written that Rav Moshe's position is not so posh, it's a big chiddush, and as a result, the person should really maintain the same minhag from year to year and not deviate from one year to the next. Now, that's very relevant for this year, because there are many people who at this point haven't gotten a haircut for quite a few weeks, as they likely didn't get their usual haircut before Pesach, in advance of Sfira, when all the barbershops were already closed. So let's say, for example, the government would allow the barbershops to open this Thursday. So if I hold the second days, I'm good to go, because the observance of that avail doesn't start until Rosh Chodesh, which is after Thursday. But if I hold the first days, so then I would still have to wait until Lag BaOmer, even though it's been a while since I got a haircut. So Rav Shechter noted, afal pichein, that whenever it is that they do open, assuming that it's been, let's say, 2 months, 8 weeks or more since your last haircut, it would still be permissible to get a haircut, even if you're holding the first days of Sfira and the barbershops open up during the first days of Sfira. And that's because once you get past that point of already being unable to get a haircut for 2 months or more, so that's beyond the limits of what the original minhag requires. If they would really open up this Thursday, it's unlikely, at least in New York, but if they would open up this Thursday, so there would be an additional factor allowing a person to be lenient besides that consideration, even if it hasn't been eight weeks since you got your last haircut, because this year Friday and Shabbos are Rosh Chodesh. Mishnah Berurah writes that when Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on a Friday, so then you can combine that with the fact that there's Kavod Shabbos and get a haircut, or maybe more relevant to you to get to shave. And many posts can even allow that as of Thursday night. Again, combining the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh and Kavod Shabbos allows you to get a haircut or allows you to shave this Friday or this Thursday night. But otherwise, if you don't take advantage of that, so then it would remain usher until Lag BaOmer, as we said. Okay, a few more quick points. few more quick points afterwards. A few more quick points on shaving and haircuts. Strictly speaking, it should be permissible to shave. A person's going to work, and they would suffer a loss if they showed up to work unshaven, because of the fact that it's a status of a minhag, and in a situation of hefsid, one never accepted, or communally we never accepted that minhag, under those limited circumstances. However, every year more and more people tell me in their personal workplace environments that maybe this year especially, when everyone's at home, it's not really out of place at all to be in the office with some stubble, and not shaving during Svira isn't really something that would be a liability. That's something to keep in mind. You have to look at the individual circumstances of your job and your professional environment. It would make more sense as well, as is quoted from Rabbi Yashim and other poskim, that for dating, again, normal world, people are dating normally during this time, that it would not be permissible to shave for a date during Sfira. Why should that be so? You could argue that I'm going to show up on a date looking like this. I look like a mess. The answer is because if you show up on a date and the girl is surprised or bothered by the fact that you haven't shaven, that you have a little Sfira beard, so it's probably the wrong girl. Because if there's a halacha and there's Minhag Yisrael around the world, so that should be expected. Whoever you go out with should expect you to have a little facial hair during Sfira. It's important to note that Rav Soloveitchik held that one should shave, not a haircut, but should shave before every Shabbos during Sfira, regardless of the circumstances, even during the 3 weeks until Shavuot Shechalbo in the summertime, because it's the factor of Kavod Shabbos, according to the Rav, trumped the aspect of mourning, which is only a minhag. Not everyone agrees to that, but many Talmidim of the Rav do, in fact, follow that position and shave before every Shabbos. On the other hand, Rav Soloveitchik did not hold that it was appropriate to shave for Yom HaTzmaut, even if one is celebrating it in a festive way. The fact that I shave doesn't assist me in giving the appropriate hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that day, in the same way that having a suda or maybe dancing, whatever it happens to be, could be permissible according to some poskim. But shaving wasn't part of that. So Rav Soloveitchik said that one person that on Yom HaTzmaut a person should not shave. And finally, on that on that general topic, one may cut their nails at any point during Svira. Chol Hamoed is an exception in many circumstances, but once you get past Yontif, a person can cut his nails any point over the course of Svira. Okay, what else is included beyond the standard restrictions that we've already mentioned during the week the weeks of Svira? We don't hold weddings during Svira, even if it's only going to be for 10 people, Corona style. And for the same reason mentioned above, we don't get married on the night of Lag BaOmer either. You wait until the daytime, when we've already observed at least a partial day at that point, Miktos Yom Kekulo. If your friend gets married during the first days of Svira, because they happen to hold the second days of Svira, but I'm holding the first days of Svira, it's still permissible for me to attend the wedding and perform the mitzvah of Simchas Chasan Kala, even if it would be a time that I personally would not be getting married because of my own family minhagim to observe the beginning of Sfira. However, that wouldn't permit you to shave. It allows you to attend the wedding and dance and be a part of the music and everything that's happening. But again, it wouldn't be necessary to shave and wouldn't be appropriate to shave. We do allow a couple to get engaged during Sfira, even if they want to have a simple gathering following the engagement to celebrate, provided that there's no music or dancing. That's also permissible. Poskim a little more lenient when it comes to bar mitzvah and to get together for bar mitzvah and even dance, as long as there's no music. Rubelsky and others are quoted as permitting it. And finally, on the topic of music in general, which we began to discuss a little bit and mentioned last night, it is prohibited to listen to music for one's enjoyment. So that would exclude, for example, let's say a person wants to work out and he wants some music to accompany his exercise, to help him stay focused, to help him stay motivated, to help him keep moving. So that would be okay. That would be okay. However, the purpose of the minhag is to reflect and understand that indeed life during this time, because of the avelos, because of what we're remembering, is not supposed to be the same. And that Klal Yisrael has suffered. They are suffering in other ways, but they have suffered greatly during the time of the Sfira period for avers that we still need much work to fix. And so, to move a little bit out of the box of your comfort zone of the music I normally listen to is appropriate. However, if a person is in a state whereby they're actually in significant distress, it's not just that they're listening to music for their own personal enjoyment, but they need the music therapeutically to help them get out of that depressed state or prevent them from getting to that depressed state, because they know that it happens if they're locked up for a long time with no social interaction, so it'll be okay. And that's actually true always. Rosh Hashanah noted that even an Ovel during Shiva, if he was in that state or she was in that state, it would be permissible, and it's even more relevant this year when people are not interacting as they are normally. And you can read that in the tshuva that sent out last night. Just read one paragraph. During this time of global suffering, it would appear that for some individuals, refraining from listening or playing music may leave one in a state of sadness or emotional distress. This would appear to reach beyond the intent of this restriction. If the motivation to listen to music is not to put oneself in a cheerful mood, but rather to ease the tension or pressure in one's home, and then to help bring oneself back to a normal disposition, that would be permissible, and one should still avoid listening to very cheerful music, but again, to accomplish the purpose that it is supposed to serve.